Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
The Search Special.
Landry Locker, Clint Sterner, about to be joined by John McClain. The city's going nuts. The city's going nuts. I remember a time not so long ago, Clint. About a year and a half ago. Nick Caserio looked like he was going to be the next GM of the Houston Texans. Everybody was happy. Hell yeah, Caserio's the only scenario, we chanted on In the Loop. Everybody was excited. But here we are, a year and a half, and a guy with 6 Super Bowl rings, with a damn impressive resume, looks like the front runner, and we'll get the confirmation from the general in a sec. And people are losing their effing minds.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's the wrath of Bill O'Brien, right? I mean, that's what Bill O'Brien has left. I think that's the taste that's in everybody's mouth, is that you've got the Patriot way failed miserably, and we're right in the middle of, well, we're right at the end of the fallout, and it's painful to think that's the direction that the organization's going to continue to go in if they do indeed hire Nick Caserio.
It will be interesting. Joining us now, Landry Locker, Clint Sterner. It is The Search here on Sports Radio 610. Some special programming for all of you. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. John, just straight up, Nick Caserio right now, based on everybody you've talked to, all the information you've gathered, does he seem like the front runner to be the general manager of the Houston Texans?
No, he's not the front runner. He will be the new general manager of the Texans. I expect it to happen tomorrow. Caserio's also been a coach with them, offensive assistant, quarterback's coach, receiver's coach. He assists the coaches on game day, and he's got 6 Super Bowl rings. He's been Bill Belichick's right-hand man for a long time. I've talked to a lot of people that worked with him, and they said he's not Bill Belichick. He's his own guy. Cal McNair has warned him 2 times now, and I think it'd be a very shrewd hire by Cal McNair to get a guy who is universally respected around the NFL. This will get a lot of praise around the NFL, but because of Bill O'Brien, Caserio's going to have to come in here and prove that he's his own man. You know, he'll hire a coach. Cal McNair will sign off on it. They want a guy, a leader of men, somebody who'll stand in front of the room, command respect, not just with the players and the coaches, but everybody in the building. They want people who will work together, and their goal, of course, to win a Super Bowl. And I haven't found anybody that I've talked to, a couple of people who've covered the team, people who worked with them and used to work with them. I haven't found anybody say anything bad about Caserio. I've never seen anything written bad about Nick Caserio, just good.
John, can you clarify? If you say you don't expect him to be the next head coach, the next GM. He will be the next GM, and it'll be announced tomorrow. Is that? I mean,
no, I expect he'd be hired tomorrow. I don't know when it'd be announced, but I expect him to be hired as the GM.
Okay, there we go. Right off the top, that's coming in
about clear.
It's about as hot as we can come in, John. So how do you feel about this, and what does this mean for Jack Easterby? That would be my question to you, because I think that's why a lot of people are uneasy about Nick Caserio, is that they don't want Jack Easterby around. That seems to be a popular consensus.
Well, as was the case with Bill O'Brien, Caserio, as the GM, will have final say on everything. Jack Easterby doesn't make decisions without running them past Bill O'Brien. We talked about that forever, and that's the way it would be with Caserio. Cal McNair said 3 weeks ago when I interviewed him that Cal and the new GM would determine his fate. And so Caserio worked with him for 6 years. They're friends. I expect Easterby to be here as the executive VP of football ops and serve as Caserio's right-hand man, the way he served as Bill O'Brien's right-hand man. And, of course, Cal McNair signs off on the big moves. But I think getting Caserio, knowing what people think about him around the league and how much respect it get, I think it's a hell of a move by Cal McNair to get him. Now they got to get the right head coach. That's even, to me, more important. Selfishly, as somebody who covers the team, the Patriots are the toughest team in the NFL to cover. For every media person up there, they're the worst. So I'm way eager to see, will Caserio and the new coach, will they create a Houston way, or will they try to recreate the Patriot way? And I'm told it will be a Houston way.
John, how does this impact or narrow the focus of the coaching search? Obviously, you know, these GMs have coaches in mind, and they have usually a history with a certain coach. How does this impact, if Nick Caserio is named the GM, how does it impact the coaching search, from names that we could expect to be tossed around?
Well, first of all, Clint, one that I was worried about was Josh McDaniels. He will not be hiring Josh McDaniels. He coached a long time. He's got 6 Super Bowl rings. He coached a long time with Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator at Buffalo, who's done an incredible job with the Bills and Josh Allen. While Caserio has 6 rings, Daboll has 5 with the Patriots. They're both 45 years old. Daboll has been an offensive coordinator for 4 different teams. But there's some guys they've interviewed, and there's some more guys. They're going to interview Arthur Smith of the Titans, Matt Eberflus from the Colts, and they've interviewed some coaches, interviewed Joe Brady, Carolina's offensive coordinator today. Of course, they interviewed Marvin Lewis and Jim Caldwell. I know they were really impressed with both of those guys, especially Caldwell, but it'll be Caserio's hire, and I would expect it to be somebody he has a relationship with. And because he's been around so long, he started in the NFL when he's 26, I'm sure he knows a lot of coaches.
I've been trying to just, you know, connect the dots, because that's obviously the next place that you look. Like, where are his connections? I guess Arthur Smith, the connection with Vrabel, because Vrabel was in New England for a while, so maybe you have that. The Daboll that you've mentioned, the McDaniels. This is random as hell, and I don't even know if this is a guy. He's gotten a couple of interviews, but what about Brandon Staley out there in Los Angeles with the Rams? Because I know he coached at John Carroll, and Nick Caserio went to John Carroll. Maybe that's like an outside-the-box type of thought, which, by the way, if you think people are pissed off at Caserio, you hire someone that they've never heard of, it's going to get even crazier, Clint.
Oh, it's going to be a nightmare.
Brandon Staley has the best defense in the NFL in his first year as a coordinator. He's done a tremendous job, but I don't see him. He's getting some interviews. I'd be surprised if he got hired here. I think if they're going to go a defensive route, it'd be more likely to go with a guy like Matt Eberflus, who knows this roster better than anybody from going against him twice a year with the Colts. Robert Saleh, who was here 6 years, he's a personal favorite of mine. But Arthur Smith, he knows his defense well. He has obliterated this defense twice this year and last year when he was the coordinator. He's done a tremendous job. Everybody wants to interview him when the Titans lose, which could be this weekend because Baltimore wants revenge for last year. And it could be Arthur Smith. I've heard nothing but good things about him, too. But do not put Josh McDaniels on the list because he's not on it.
That's the second time you've mentioned that, John. Who are you talking to? Why are you so strong in Josh McDaniels not being the guy?
Because I know he won't be the guy.
That's easy. What do you make of Eric Bieniemy and Robert Saleh, those two names having not been linked to the Texans at this point in time, considering they're two of the, I would say, they're on the top of the list of the majority of the lists that I've seen. They haven't been linked to the Texans. What's the deal with that?
Well, Bieniemy can only interview this week, and they've been interviewing other people. And his next chance to interview is going to be after they're eliminated. And I don't know, when a guy's preparing for the playoffs and he's got to worry about multiple teams for his first game, I feel bad for guys like Bieniemy who are trying to impress people on Zoom interviews when he's got so many other responsibilities. As far as Robert Saleh, the 49ers are out of the playoffs. Teams are reaching out to him. The Texans have not reached out. Don't know if they will, but I know they haven't so far.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us. This is absolutely insane. A lot of stuff going on. We got the Caserio stuff coming down, looking like he's going to be the next GM. No Josh McDaniels, according to John. So there's a lot going on here as the search continues. John, what do you think about the future of J.J. Watt? What do you think that J.J. Watt thinks when he sees, and he's basically called out Easterby. He's mentioned the article himself. What does J.J. Watt think when he sees that they're bringing in another guy from the Patriot way, from kind of the same tree as Bill O'Brien and Easterby? What do you think J.J. Watt thinks about this?
I think J.J. would be impressed with his 6 Super Bowl rings since J.J. Watt's won. I think a lot of it depends on who the head coach is, what defensive coordinator do they hire, what changes do they make on defense. I fully expect J.J. to be back next season, but everything's up in the air. But players are just as eager to find these things out as we are. Another thing, by getting Caserio and knocking this out quick, they can get right in the middle of all the head coaching candidates and hire the head coach and then get to work on improving this defense and this team overall. One of the things the Patriots did for years, and I thought them going 7-9 last year was such poor play at quarterback with Cam Newton, I thought that was pretty remarkable. I mean, they were 3 games better than the Texans, even though the Texans beat them. So they've done that.
John McClain losing connection, and half their team did opt out. You know, I've heard the Patriots fell off without Tom Brady. That's true, but let's compare the Tampa Bay roster to the New England roster. They had damn near half their team opt out, and they did have basically a project in Cam Newton.
They were impacted more by the opt outs than any team in the league. I would say, right? I mean, yeah. and they were key opt outs.
Every single starting linebacker.
Yeah, I think say
every single one.
A safety. Four. An offensive line, a couple offensive linemen.
Edelman
was hurt. Yes, they were banged up, but nonetheless, it's to me the Seth Payne. I saw his tweet earlier. He tweeted that they've in the last 8 seasons they've drafted 2 Pro Bowl players.
Yeah, haven't been very good.
I mean, so what has Nick Caserio done? And like just from a bio standpoint, from a research, what has he done that everybody is so high on? Other than everybody in the organization can say, well, they got 6 Super Bowl rings. What does he bring to the table that makes you believe he's the guy to fix the problem for the Houston Texans?
John,
he has been Belichick's right hand man for a long time since 2008. He's worked with a lot of good people there. They pick low, you know. They're always picking low. I don't know. I've never met the guy, but I'm going by what people tell me that worked there, used to work there and cover the team, and what they say about him, and they think he's going to do a hell of a job, and they know more about it than I do.
All right, John, we appreciate you. We know you're busy. You're in high demand. Thanks for putting us first, sir.
Landry and Clint, thank you guys very much, as always, and stay safe.
That's the legend John McClain here on Sports Radio 610 Special Search Programming. Coming up, let's get more into this scenario thing, this Caserio scenario, I should say. I'm not as down on it as a lot of people. I want to hear from the people, 713-572-4610. And as Clint likes to say, let's cuss and discuss this a little bit more next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Search Special.
Andrew Locker, Clint Sterner with you. The Search, it's still going, but it's shaping up a little bit. John McClain just joined us. My goodness. He did not beat around the bush. Looks like Nick Caserio is going to be the general manager of the Houston Texans. We could get that announcement very soon. Cross Josh McDaniels off the list of head coaches. Easterby likely to hang around. And other than that, not much going on, Clint.
Yeah, it narrows the focus, though, Lock Dog, of the coaching pool for the Houston Texans, I would think, right? I mean, it narrows that focus significantly. I hope I'm wrong, but you got to think that the Belichick tree is where, not Easterby, but yeah, well, I guess Easterby's part of it, but Caserio will be familiar with those guys and put trust in those guys to be the head coach. If not at the head coach position, also at the defense coordinator, the offense coordinator position as well. So it's things have definitely heated up in the last hour. That's for damn sure.
We keep talking about the Patriot way, and we'll hear from some listeners, 713-572-4610. Do you think it's fair to lump the Patriot way and Nick Caserio in with, you know, like Matt Patricia and Bill O'Brien here? Because I look at those guys as kind of Patriot way posers. You were there, like Bill O'Brien was there for a few years and he thought that he invented football, but they'd already established, you know, the Patriot way, whatever the hell that means, the Belichick way, the Brady way, however you want to say it. Caserio's at least been there since day one. And he's been trusted to do a lot of things. I know James E. Hedebo, who joins us during the week, said, you know, he was the one who worked me out when I went up there. He's helping out with personnel. Hell, in 2006 or whatever, 2005, when Randy Moss and Wes Welker were there, the guy hadn't even coached, and they made him a receivers coach. He wears a headset on game day. Do you think it's fair to lump in like the Patriot way with someone like Bill O'Brien, who I don't think doesn't even really know what the Patriot way is? I don't think he truly gets it, with a guy who's been there since day one, like a Nick Caserio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I think it's fair to lump them in, even more so than your Bill O'Briens and your Matt Patricias. I think those are guys that try to do it the same way Belichick tried to do it, right? The difference between what's my man in Miami? My mind just
Flores.
Went blank. Flores in Miami. And some of the other guys that I feel like have branched out of the Patriot way and done it their own way is those guys aren't trying to do it like Bill Belichick. There's some similarities to how they run the organization, but they're not trying to be Belichick. They're their own people. To me, the Bill O'Briens of the world and the Matt Patricias of the world, they don't have the ability to be their own man and stand independently from a Bill Belichick and run an organization the way that he runs it. And if Nick Caserio, it just depends, right? Is Nick Caserio more of the cut from the Flores cloth, to where he's just living and learning and he's going to go do his own thing and run his own show? Or is he living under Belichick and he's going to go somewhere else and try to duplicate Belichick? That's the problem, is you can't duplicate Belichick. You got to be your own man, and you got to have your own it factor. And so it's going to be – it'll be interesting, because, like you said, he's been attached at Belichick's hip. So we'd be crazy to sit here and think that he's not going to bring the Patriot way to Houston, as the last regime tried to do.
I just wonder if he tries to do it, you know, his own way, and if he had more to do with it than, say, a Bill O'Brien who comes over and is one of many coordinators that's been successful with Tom Brady. I think it's just, I think he might have a better grasp. If you are trying to duplicate the Patriot way, I think he might have a better grasp of it than B.O.B. And something else, I think, and look, I heard you and Show talking about it, and we've talked about it for damn near 2 years now. Easterby's been a disaster as a personnel guy. He's been awful. He made it very clear that he was helping in all these areas that the Texans struggled in, whether it was trades, whether it was the cap, whether it was all that. He was awful. But I do think that we do have to take into account that he did try to, or Cal and Easterby and whoever did try to hire Caserio before. So before all this stuff started happening, and Jack Easterby was Bill O'Brien's right-hand man, and he was helping with the draft and everything, they did try to hire Caserio. Now, I don't know if that meant that Easterby would have continued to do what he did, and maybe we're having the same conversation, and we're lumping Caserio in with B.O.B. and Easterby as like a three-headed monster. But they did try to hire Caserio. So I just wonder if Easterby and Bill O'Brien being a package deal, it clearly wasn't the original plan. You know what I mean? Like, they did at least try that. They did at least try that at one point.
Well, I mean, the scary thing to me when I hear you laying that out, Locke, is that again, now we're going to sit here, and on the back end of that, we have to say, well, then all of the problems were Bill O'Brien. All the poor decisions were Bill O'Brien. Because if not, all the guys that were to be figureheads that were either in the building or they attempted to get in the building, they're all here now, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm not comfortable with saying I think Bill O'Brien failed miserably. I don't like his style. I don't like the way that the wheels came off. And that's what happens to that kind of coaching is when you don't get just the right formula of players in there, man, the wheels come off and it's an ugly situation. And it all blew up. The dumpster blew up and there's no doubt about it. But I'm not one to sit here and lay it all at Bill O'Brien's feet. I think those decisions were made in a group effort.
Yeah.
I think it took
time. Well, they both said as much.
It took time to do as much damage as they did.
Right.
And it wasn't just Bill O'Brien. And to think that that group that was doing that damage, when doing the damage was at its peak, the guy that they were trying to bring into the mix and bring into the fold was Nick Caserio.
Right.
And now here we are, Bill O'Brien's gone, and we're going to insert Nick into the equation. It's just I don't know. It's just tough. It's kind of a buzzkill for me, Locke.
I think Bill O'Brien and Easterby were a package deal. But I just wonder if that's really how exactly Easterby envisioned it, given the fact that he did try to hire Nick Caserio. Like, if they would have fired Brian Gain and never even tried to hire Caserio, then I would be like, okay, maybe he wanted to do this from the beginning. And I think he wanted power. I think that's very well documented. But I just wonder what it would have been like if Caserio had come here. Like, what would Jack Easterby's role have been? And I do think the one thing about Jack Easterby, and I want him gone. Let's just be honest. I don't like people being pissed off and mad. And there's a lot of fans that are pissed off and mad at the Easterby perception. And quite honestly, the reputation he's earned as a personnel guy that's got us in this situation. But I will say, Nick Caserio knows what Jack Easterby's good at. And I think there was a time before he came here where I think all around the NFL, because the Colts tried to hire him, I think another team tried to hire him, his value in an organization was clear, and he wasn't making trades. He wasn't handling the salary cap. It was clear. And Caserio was with him. So I think if Caserio comes here, just like we heard Bill Belichick the week that the Texans faced the Patriots, just dismiss him. Remember when he just brushed him off his shoulder? Yeah. He's not a personnel guy. Yeah. Get the hell out of
here.
Yes, yes. Caserio knows that. So I find it hard to believe that Caserio would come here, and if he wanted to keep Easterby around, knowing all that and knowing more than anyone, that he's going to say, all right, come to the draft room with me, buddy. Let's go out there and make draft moves. So he might actually be able to, for lack of a better term, put him in his place and bring Easterby back to that guy that he was before he came to Houston, that was an asset at an organization before he kind of, you know, showed his naked butt trying to be a personnel guy and trying to do too much.
Yeah, like the I heard you say earlier today, or maybe you tweeted it or something. I thought it's a great point, right? Is it's no longer about Easterby being able to impact decisions once the head coach and the general manager decisions are made. Because I think he's in a position to impact and influence and manipulate those two hires. Unfortunately, I do think he's in those hip pockets of the decision makers, but once these two decisions are made, I agree with you. I'm not concerned with Jack Easterby getting in the way of a DeAndre Hopkins or what they're going to do with JJ or what they're going to do with Cooks or Fuller or whoever, right? I'm not worried. I'm no longer worried about that. The biggest concern is exactly what you said, is the stench, mm-hmm. right? The mm-hmm. stench, the disconnect with the fan base, being pissed off that Jack Easterby's still in there pulling strings. Just the name in itself has been blown out of proportion, quite frankly. There's a 30-page article written about the guy that we discussed for a week on radio.
Mm-hmm.
Just that stench is really, it's stuck in the crawl of the fan base, and it's going to be a problem until they turn it around.
And the players have talked about it.
No doubt.
I mean, the players have talked about it. JJ talking about articles. I mean, what other article has been written?
Yeah.
Deshaun talking about culture.
Yeah.
The players have talked about it. And that, I think that is the dangerous part of this, is that if Caserio is going to come here, and let's say Caserio is going to say, what the hell are you doing in here watching tape? Get out of here and go read some scripture or something like that to somebody. Like, do that. If he does do that, I think it might be more difficult for Easterby to have that role now that there could be trust issues with players.
Yeah.
You know? Well,
yeah, look, there's nothing more dangerous than a guy that's not qualified to be in that building and in that role having the freedom to manipulate the ones that don't know what he can and can't do, right? I think your point of Nick Caserio knows who Jack Easterby is, knows what he's capable of, knows what lane he should be in. And you would think that Nick Caserio would make sure that he's in that lane, he stays in that lane, and he doesn't overstep boundaries, which you, I hope, in turn, keeps Easterby from becoming an issue with the locker room and with the superstar players.
713-572-4610. The search is upon us. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on with Landry Locker and Clint Sterner.
Hey, guys, appreciate y'all taking my call today. So, again, my question just for discussion is this. You know, we know Cal has been wanting he's been wanting Nick Caserio for about 18 months. And if he's going to end up hiring the same guy he wanted 18 months, what was the point of the ad hoc committee? I'll go ahead and I'll hang up, but that's my question to y'all.
That's a good question.
No, look, Landry, there's a lot of what's gone on since Bill O'Brien was relieved of his duties. There's been a lot that's gone on that I wonder today, with like literally within the last 2 hours, of was it all smoke and mirrors? There's a lot, we can start and get into that. There's a lot of that that you just go, wait a minute. What'd you say about Bazergan? Why was Bazergan not named the GM? Well, because you knew what was the plan was, right? It's easy to go. Hey, Easterby, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna plug in Caserio. It's easy to make those adjustments, and I think there's just a lot of smoke that we've seen over the last month that. Or 2 months, really, hell, almost 3 months, that it's hard to explain right now.
Let's get into the smoke. The search continues. Landry Locker, Clint Sterner. Looks like Nick Caserio is going to be your general manager. We don't know who the coaches are going to be. We're going to get into that, and we're going to talk about some of this smoke next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Search Special.
All right, it looks like Nick Caserio is going to be the general manager of the Houston Texans. That, according to John McClain. Sounds familiar? Could happen, but who's going to be the next head coach? And what about the smoke? Should we have seen this coming? Clint Sterner with me, Landry Locker here, Jacob holding us down. There's been a lot of smoke around here lately. And when people see that Nick Caserio is getting hired, they just wonder if, you know, this has been the decision from the very beginning.
Yeah, this has been booked. This bet's been booked for a while, right? I mean, you start with we've all with this station. We've discussed why was Jack Easterby the interim GM if Matt Bazergan was the guy you were going to interview? I think was he the first or the second? Maybe
he was the second.
The second GM that you interviewed for the GM opening. Why didn't you? Matt Bazergan was in the building. Why didn't you just slide him in to that GM role if he was qualified to be a GM to the point where he got an interview? Well, in hindsight, it makes a lot more sense to put Jack Easterby in that role and have Jack Easterby in a position where he obviously is close with Nick Caserio. And when it comes time, he can move on out of that seat. Nick Caserio can move in there. Now that move makes a little bit more sense instead of playing with Matt Bazergan's career and playing with Matt Bazergan's mind and his emotions. Leave him in the role that he's in with the Texans. They think he's doing a really, really good job, and let Easterby be the guy that you move around. You talk about the coaching. Why is Robert Saleh and Eric Bieniemy not on the list of coaching candidates that the Texans have been linked to? Possibly because they knew Nick Caserio was going to be the guy, and Nick Caserio doesn't have any ties or any relationships or any history with either of those coaches.
It's going to be interesting to see who he hires, because if Dable, from a perception standpoint, I think Dable would be the one that would have people going the craziest. But I think Joe Brady has a chance to be the guy. I think 31-year-old Joe Brady has a chance to be the guy with Nick Caserio. And I'm telling you this, if you tell me right now, no matter what Easterby's doing, if you told me before the offseason started or after week four when B.O.B. got fired that I was going to be on the air and it was going to be Nick Caserio and Joe Brady overseeing things, sign me up. Sign me up. Sign me up for every single ounce of that.
That's ballsy. I mean, I'm here. Look, I think Joe Brady's got a very bright future in the NFL. I don't know if it's an offensive X's and O's schematical genius or if it's a head coach. And I admire his track record of what he's done in a short period of time. And I love the fact that he comes from, or at least spent some time with, Sean Payton. I absolutely love that. I was in a meeting room with Sean Payton. He's our quarterback coach, passing game coordinator in Dallas for a year. I mean, I love the way that he coaches football and the way he approaches football. And I would love to see Joe Brady, and more importantly, I would love to see Deshaun Watson in Joe Brady's offense. But that is a huge roll of the dice on his ability to be a head coach and manage an entire staff and an entire organization when he's never done it. Especially one that needs all the needs that the Houston locker room needs is, man, there's just a lot on that guy's plate.
That's fair. That's very, very, very fair. It is a lot of pressure. But all the names that we're throwing out there, they've never done it really either. It would be their first time to be a head coach as well. And I just don't know at what point do we just realize, man, this kid might be special, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when Ed Orgeron is on the hot seat, and you're an SEC guy, you know this, and the offense is a huge problem, and he's trusting a 29-year-old to come in there and oversee it, and they set records. They set SEC records. They set national records. Okay, there you go. He justified any concern you had. Carolina this year, if you look at the improvement that they made, what the players did, they were the only team in the league to have four guys total 1,000 yards. They had two receivers in the top 15. He did a good job there. At what point do we just look at this and say, this guy's special? This guy is a boy wonder.
Yeah, like I think it's something. To me, it's one of those where, and Sean and I had this conversation, this guy's got to be special in a sense of having an it factor to the 10th degree, right? I mean, and that's the good thing is that's not something that I think you pick up when you turn 45, right? I mean, either you got that or you don't. It's not an age limit. And I think the only way that he gets serious consideration for this head coach job or any other head coach job in the league is if he walks in and he has an interview presentation that absolutely blows folks' minds in the sense of, all right, I mean, literally every box being checked. Who's the defensive coordinator and how's that guy going to fix these problems? Who's going to help make the decision of what J.J. Watt's going to do? What's your plan for Deshaun Watson schematically? Obviously, we know he's got that box checked. Just everything from the coaching staff to the culture to the leadership issues, how he had to walk in. If he's the guy, he had to walk in and completely blow that interview out of the water, man.
I think there's a chance he did.
No, there's hell, obviously he did it. He did it in Carolina with Matt Rhule. I mean, Matt Rhule gets a head coaching gig in the NFL, and he goes, "Yeah, come on in, young buck. I'll give you my offense." So it's not that I don't believe that he can't do it. I just think it would be unbelievably impressive if he does.
Yeah, there's just a lot of guys that I respect from a coaching standpoint that have shown so much belief in this kid. To where I just think it would be foolish to let this guy walk just because he's 31 years old. Like Sean Payton just takes you from Penn State and keeps you under his wing for 2 years. And then Matt Rhule, with his first head coaching job in the NFL, lets you oversee his offense. And then Matt Rhule this year says, "Hey, I know you like calling him in the booth. Come down to the sidelines because you got a head coaching future. You need to start seeing this game from the sidelines." And he brings Joe Brady down and puts him on the sidelines. There's just so many signs that this guy is like another Sean McVay, and he's very, very special.
You make a great point. Like, I mean, why should I sit here and doubt his ability to wow people in an interview situation or an interview room when he clearly did it with Matt Rhule? When he clearly did it with Matt Orgeron, I mean, with Sean Payton, but James then Orgeron too. Also. I was going to ask you who he was under in Penn State.
Franklin.
I knew it was Penn State, but I didn't know who was the head coach at the time. Franklin's awfully impressive as well. There's no BS there. We interviewed him at one of the big events here. He's an impressive individual. And so clearly he didn't go from Franklin, to Sean Payton, to Ed Orgeron, to Matt Rhule BSing his way through the process.
It's one of my favorite stories to tell, but I talked to someone who was in Green Bay when Holmgren and Andy Reid were there, along with like Mariucci, John Dorsey was there. It was like one of the most impressive coaching trees that you've ever seen. And Sean Payton was just that little snot-nosed kid walking around bringing him coffee. And it's my buddy Brian Broaddus who was a scout there. Sean Payton's walking around. He's watching tape. He's doing all the grunt work. He's doing everything. And every once in a while, they would just ask Sean Payton, this little zealous kid, probably just making sure they have enough cream in their coffee and turning on tape and giving opinions. They'd just ask him what he thought. And Broadus told me a story about how they asked Sean Payton about the draft. It was the draft when Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf were coming out. And they just said, hey, kid, what do you think about the quarterbacks in this draft? And Sean Payton says, Manning over Ryan Leaf, no hesitation. And Matt Hasselbeck, I think you guys have him rated as like a sixth-round pick. That's a third-round quarterback right there. And they drafted Hasselbeck, and he was like the backup. And that just kind of reminds me, I say all that to say this, because Sean Payton from Green Bay, he went with Parcells, which you know. So yep. Parcells trusted this guy to be his assistant head coach and oversee the offense. He was basically a coach in waiting before he took the Saints job. And it just seems like when Sean Payton trusts Joe Brady like that, it just seems like you're almost getting like a reincarnation of the whole thing.
Yeah. There's a story out there, too, on Joe Brady, Locke, that where he was how the LSU coaches found him. It was some kind of coaching clinic where I believe Sean Payton was supposed to be presenting the offense and some certain concept they run. I don't know which one it was. But he couldn't. He ended up not being able to make it. And the coach said, "Well, do you want us to still come?" He said, "Yeah, I got a guy that'll run it." Well, it was Joe Brady, and that's how the LSU coaching staff was like. They left there like, "Damn, we got to get that guy down here." I read an article yesterday.
I would pee my pants if I were a coach and I had to present to all these guys at that age.
My man got up there and rocked it, especially if it was Ed Orgeron. I don't know. I could probably talk some offensive ball in front of Ed Orgeron. I feel like I probably know a little more offensive ball than Ed O.
Probably.
But nonetheless, the I read an article yesterday or earlier today where you may have heard this. Joe Brady, when he took the LSU job, Sean Payton told him that he was making a huge mistake. And now, of course, John Payton comes back now and goes, boy, what the hell do I know? He's clearly didn't make a mistake. But he told him you're making the biggest mistake.
And he didn't think he knew. He didn't think he was ready, huh?
He was ready, baby. There ain't no doubt about that. I mean, because there's no doubting what this guy brings to the table offensively. Look, you got me excited about the possibility. I still think it's a super long shot.
Oh, it is. It's a risk, man. Like, it's a risk. And he's never been a head coach.
Yeah.
He's never been a head coach.
There's always a risk there, right? None of these guys have
been. Huge risk. But it's intriguing. It's intriguing. And I will promise you this. The offense will thrive with Joe Brady and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. You said what you said earlier, the staff, hiring the staff will be huge, right?
I think hiring the staff is very important with Joe Brady because I do think one thing when you're 31 years old and you're that young, you don't have as many connections. But I think pairing Nick Caserio with Joe Brady – I think that actually helps because Caserio has the Rolodex. And say what you want about New England, they do a pretty good job of hiring assistant coaches. They do a pretty good job. So I think that if you do pair Caserio with Joe Brady, I think there's some good possibilities. Hell, maybe you bring in you mentioned Jack Del Rio during the break. Maybe you bring him in to overlook the defense, and he's like your assistant head coach or something like that. Maybe you bring in one of these guys you interviewed in, Jim Caldwell or Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis oversees your defense. He wants back in the game, and you have that wisdom right there with this boy wonder. Who says no to that?
That would be a great role for one of those older coaches, right? Marvin Lewis is the defensive-minded one of the bunch, but that'd be a great role for him to be able to come in, coach defensive ball, and be a sounding board for a young up-and-coming head coach to be able to bounce things off of him of how to handle certain situations. I think the scariest thing when you talk about a Joe Brady and even a Nick Caserio is the first decision they're going to have to make, right, is the J.J. Watt situation.
Yeah, that's scary.
How do you renegotiate that restructure his deal? What do you do? Do you walk? Do you move him? How does that all unfold? That's going to be a monster hurdle for whoever gets the gig immediately.
Sometimes when you come in, you just got to make those tough decisions. You go back to 88, Jerry Jones having to fire Tom Landry. Probably did it the wrong way, but he came out there and made that tough move, took the backlash, and if you just start winning, it goes away. But, yep. Yeah, that is a decision they're going to have to make. And let's be honest, maybe it's not even their decision. Maybe J.J. Watt's already ready to bounce. Who knows? 713-572-4610. Let's go to Eric. Eric, go ahead.
Hey guys, first time, or long time listener, first time caller. Appreciate y'all taking my call. Man, I'm sitting around here and I'm looking at my room full of Houston Texans things, and man, I couldn't be more excited for this GM pick. I think Nick Caserio is a great pickup, has six rings to back it up. Now, this is only one part of the equation. We need to see what he does with hiring a coach. Hopefully, he doesn't stick to those New England roots, and we're looking at give me Saleh. Give me a Brady or even give me Bienemy. Give me any one of those, and I'll be happy. Let's go Texans, baby.
There you go. That's the attitude. Nice. I like. I will say this, though, and I wonder if when we talk about the Patriot way, If Caserio does come here and he does hire someone that has nothing to do with the Patriots like a Joe Brady, doesn't that just throw that in the trash can? Because that is not very Patriot way for him to say, all right, yeah. Joe Brady, I'm going to make you my first head coach. Wouldn't that immediately be a way to kind of, it's not going to go away, but wouldn't that be kind of like a middle finger to people saying that's the Patriot way?
No, Locker, we talked about it earlier, right when this Caserio thing broke, is I think that the one thing, like I shouldn't say I don't care, that's strong to say, especially when we cover the team, but like GM, the GM conversations,
yeah.
Like they don't, like
we don't know these guys most of the time, let's be honest. Like a lot of times you got to fire up the Wikipedia and all that when you hear these names.
The only time we talk about them is when they're screwing up.
Right.
Right. Not drafting right, yeah. Trading the wrong players,
or
don't have
the
one.
Head coach, or when it's also the head coach.
Right. So the saving grace here is if Nick Caserio or whoever gets the GM job, when they hire the head coach, that's going to be the saving grace, right? Does Nick Caserio come in here and does he immediately go back to that, to the Belichick tree to hire a head coach? And does that head coach then hire Matt Patricia as a defensive coordinator? And is it just literally Patriots of the South again? Or is it Nick Caserio standing on his own two feet and doing things as we've discussed, like hiring an extremely young head coach? Again, whether that's Sala or whoever, Joe Brady, whoever the hell it may be. That changes the tune, and I think this fan base will get behind that type of situation in a big, big, big way. The big hire here is the head coach. That's the one ultimately right now. Look, the ant bed's been kicked.
Right,
the ant bed's been kicked right now because there's no head coach, and Caserio has got the ant bed stirred up big time. The fan base doesn't like it because it's all about what if he does this or what if he does that. I don't give a damn about which GM it is. I want to know who that guy's going to hire and what direction he's going to send this organization via the head coach. And I think that the fan base, they'll forget about the Caserio situation in a matter of days if that head coach hire is right.
Yeah, if it's not connected to Patriots, if it's the opposite, I think that's something that people can get on board with. 713-572-4610, Landry Locker, Clint Sterner. It is The Search on Sports Radio 610. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, first of all, thanks for taking my call. I got two comments. One is to you, Clint. I recently watched a docu-movie about, I guess it was your guard.
Yeah, Brandon Burlesworth.
You know, the young man who.
Kev, I'm sorry, bro. We're talking about something completely different. It was a good movie, though. I did enjoy it. Although Clint was kind of a jerk in it. They kind of portrayed my man as kind of a jerk.
Well, you know I'm not an asshole, Lockdown. Come on, man.
All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on Sports Radio 16. Go ahead.
Is Mike?
Go ahead, Mike. Mark, go ahead.
I've been listening to you, Landry, since 10 o'clock all day.
All right.
The main thing I wanted to say is that to me, if they hired Nick Caserio, I really wouldn't care about Jack Easterby nor Kyle McNair anymore. All I would care about is who is Nick Caserio's staff. Can he evaluate players? And who is his next head coach? If he hires Eberflus, Brian Daboll, or Robert Saleh, I'm on board. If he does a good job, just like you said all day, Jack Easterby wouldn't go back to a GM role. He would go back to a culture, just go to the side and go do something else. He would not go back to the same role. Even another GM, even if it wasn't Nick Caserio, I don't think that the new GM would bring back or put Jack Easterby in the same role he's been in. So what you have to think about is, I feel like Nick Caserio is the GM. Y'all feel like y'all been reporting it all day. What can Nick Caserio do once he get here? Who is his staff?
Yeah.
Who is the head coach that he's looking for? All of that matters.
That's the most important decision he's going to make. You know, the staff. I don't think you can evaluate him in the draft this year. Now you can lay out the New England the last 20 years, and we don't know that he has the final call there with Belichick either. To be fair, Belichick could be the guy that's, you know, drafting, but this year the draft, it would be a miracle if the Texans had an awesome draft, given the fact they don't have a first and a second round pick. But the staff, the coach, all that. That's going to be the most important thing that he can do.
Well, you go back to one more reason why the coaching staff is so important, right? I mean, I think we can all agree that this group here in Houston, this roster right now, has been as poorly coached as there is in the league over time, and we watched it unfold this year, and so a big part of having to do more with less, right, of having to do more with lower round draft picks, and the Texans are going to have to sign a monster free agent group this year after the draft, an undrafted free agent group, and try to find two or three diamonds in the rough that can help you. I mean, those are the kind of obstacles that this next coaching staff is going to be up against. And ultimately, hiring that right coach, it's important for several reasons. One of those reasons is that guy better be a hell of a football coach. That guy better be an on-field, cleats-in-the-turf coach that develops talent and gets more guys playing at or above their ceiling immediately.
And you need a good staff. I mean, none of this like, oh, this guy coached me in college, come coach the receivers, John Perry stuff. None of this guy followed me around for 11 years, come on, Tim Kelly, let's go. None of this Mike Devlin, for whatever reason, he gets to stay around. You got to hire a good staff. I mean, just look at the division. Look at the state of the division. There are two third-year coaches in this division who have assistants that possess the opposite skill that they have as far as side of the ball. Eberflus defense, Frank Reich's offense, and then Vrabel's a defensive coach. He has an offensive coach. They have assistants that everyone wants to talk to about head coaching openings. Yep. That is the type of stuff that you need in an organization. It's about talent on the field, and it's about hiring the right guys. Let's go to Gary. Gary, you're on Sports Radio 610.
Hey, just want to say I'm very disappointed with this Caserio news.
Come on, Gary. Why?
I mean, to me, it's signaling that we're going to keep Easterby. And I mean, what does this guy have? Pictures? What's going on? I mean, he's not a personnel guy. He's clearly caused some disruption in the organization. And McNair is just hell bent upon keeping him. I just don't get it. I mean, obviously, I'm wishing the team the best, but why go back down the Patriot route? Bill O'Brien completely tore the franchise down, and then you go right back to the well. I just don't get it.
I just can't compare Bill O'Brien's Patriot way to Nick Caserio's. I just can't do it. He's been there since day one. He's done a lot of different things. Bill O'Brien went there after McDaniels left, and he called plays for Tom Brady, Randy Moss, and Wes Welker. I just think if we're looking at the Patriot way, I think the problem with the Patriot way, a lot of times it's failed, is you have these blowhards like Matt Patricia and Bill O'Brien who spend some time in New England and they act like they invented football and like they can act like Bill Belichick. Nick Caserio doesn't act like that. Like he doesn't, I don't think a lot of people have really heard Nick Caserio talk or anything, but he doesn't act like that's not the kind of guy that he is. Like that's just,
he definitely doesn't strike you as that kind of guy. The biggest concern when we talk about the Patriot way and Nick Caserio, the biggest concern, there's two aspects that concern me. And that's, what does he do with the assistant coaches like we talked about? Does he get a bunch of the guys like you just mentioned to come in here and head coach, offensive coordinator, defense coordinator? Or the number two thing is the good guy roster thing. I think that's one thing that really grinds the gears. I know it grinds my gears for damn sure. The Clowney's not the worker bee, so he's in the doghouse of the coach.
Well, hell, if it's a Patriot way, they're going to be bringing in some guys that you roll the dice on. If he's just going to do everything that they do there, right?
Who's that? Who would that be? Who are you referring to?
Caserio.
Yeah, no, but who did they bring in that
Albert Hainsworth, Randy Moss, Ocho Cinco?
They've experimented, Antonio Brown, right? I mean, they'll experiment with players. I'm talking about a scenario where you draft a guy like Clowney, and over years,
oh yeah,
he just doesn't turn out to be the quote unquote worker bee, but he's disruptive as hell in the field, and you grow tired of him and move him on. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that scares me is, what do you do with the assistants, and how do you handle the locker room, and what do you believe in building that culture? Is the culture a bunch of good guys, or is the culture a bunch of dogs? That's what I worry about. Is the trickle down effect of Nick Caserio being the assistants and the culture and how it affects the locker room?
All right, Landry Locker, Clint Sterner here. It is The Search on Sports Radio 610. It's been fun, man. It's only going to get more fun. Hell, we could hop in the car and find out that Nick Caserio is officially the GM of the Houston Texans.
It's over. That's a quick hour, brother. That's a quick hour.
Appreciate you. Appreciate John McClain. Appreciate Jacob for holding it down. Appreciate all the callers here on Sports Radio 610. We're going to do this every day. It is going to be some special programming right here at 6 o'clock. Again, just to reset what we learned during this hour, John McClain says that Nick Caserio will be the GM. Josh McDaniels will not be the head coach. And other than that, we don't have a damn clue. There we go.
That's it. Joe Brady's a hot item. He's a hot item right now on the coaching market.
Bring me the ginger boy wonder.
I'll talk to you. He's a ginger.
He is a ginger. See?
Ginger Nation, baby. Come on.
Two gingers right there. I'll be on tomorrow at 10 a.m. Clint's going to be on tomorrow at 2. Payne and Pendergast get you started at 6. But coming up, you're going to hear some more on this situation with the Houston Texans, The Search, John McClain. If you missed it the first time, you're not going to want to miss it because John McClain came in swinging and he gave you some news that you need to know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.